The legislature's budget committee held a hearing today on the state's $3 billion incentive package for technology giant Foxconn. The plan passed the state assembly last week. As Sean Johnson reports, there are still a lot of unanswered questions about how it would work.
Backers of Wisconsin's Foxconn deal have compared it to the Louisiana Purchase, to the Green Bay Packers signing Hall of Famer Reggie White. And last week, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss introduced a new comparison when he read an email from a constituent.
In closing the email that he sent to me, he said, quote, "If you build it, they will come."
It was a reference to the 1989 movie Field of Dreams, when the character played by Kevin Costner is walking through his Iowa cornfield and hears a voice that no one else can hear.
"If you build it, he will come."
Costner eventually listens and builds a baseball diamond in the middle of nowhere. Ghosts show up to play baseball, and by the end of the movie, people are coming from miles away to watch. In the state assembly, Voss said there was no way of knowing how transformational the Foxconn plant would be, but lawmakers would be proud of the day they voted to build it.
"That'll be the day that you look back and say, I was part of something bigger than what I understood when I listened and debated that legislation. I was part of something that transformed our state in a way that I didn't even understand at the time."
The Foxconn deal, by its very nature, requires a leap of faith from the lawmakers who've been asked to approve it. Foxconn says it will build a $10 billion, 1.6 square mile complex in southeast Wisconsin, but the exact costs and benefits remain unknown.
"So far, I have not seen the evidence that this is as transformative as you might hope."
Timothy Bartik is an economist who studies local economic development for the W.E. Upjohn Institute in Michigan. He says the amount of money Wisconsin is offering Foxconn per job created is about 7 times the size of a typical government incentive package. He says it could be 10 times larger once local incentives get factored in. The legislature's budget office projects the state would break even on its Foxconn deal in the 2042-2043 budget year if the company creates 13,000 jobs and 22,000 jobs spin off at other companies as a result. Bartik says that will never happen.
2042, that's a conservative estimate. It probably doesn't break even until 2142. If then.
Also skeptical is Einar Tangen, a Beijing-based economics expert who has studied Foxconn in China. Tangen says nobody has broken down the costs of this deal for local governments.
"The state is writing legislation, but it's the big impact is going to be on the local economy, and those have yet to be defined."
Tangen says the package also gives considerable discretion to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, or WEDIC, which has come under fire in repeated state audits. Under this bill, it will be up to WEDIC to decide whether Foxconn lives up to many of its promises.
"No one knows what they're going to do. There's nothing in the statute that says it has to follow these rules or things. They basically said carte blanche. You decide."
And the bill exempts Foxconn from a variety of environmental permitting laws. Peter Adrians is a professor of finance at the University of Michigan who specializes in corporate water risk management. Adrians was surprised to see that the bill would waive some environmental permits for Foxconn even after it begins operating its liquid crystal display plant, especially given the company's reputation as a polluter.
"To come to the state of Wisconsin, operate close to Lake Michigan, and take away all operational levers that you have in your policy toolbox to make sure this company operates responsibly. And then that's effectively what the bill does."
Adrian says it's very trusting of the state of Wisconsin, given all the unknowns. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we bring back Chuck Krumbach, WPR news reporter based in Milwaukee. He was at today's hearing in Sturdivant about Wisconsin's $3 billion incentive package for Foxconn. So, Chuck, there we heard from Field of Dreams to risky business, basically. What was the attitude you heard from members of the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, I can't think of a movie metaphor, but it was very skeptical by the Democrats on the panel. The first 2.5 hours of the hearing was really more question and answer between Joint Finance Committee members and heads or almost heads of several state agencies. Much of the time was spent answering concerns about whether there are guarantees that Foxconn is making. Is the state at risk? Is there going to be environmental degradation? What about the number of jobs? What about the transportation, of getting people to jobs. The list went on quite a bit, as I say, 2.5 hours worth. But one of the leaders of the state agencies, Scott Neitzel, the Department of Administration, tried to put a very positive face on things, of course, and said it's not just about 13,000 jobs, presumably in the Racine-Kenosha area, but a ripple effect across the state.
Suppliers and suppliers to suppliers and suppliers to suppliers to suppliers throughout Wisconsin will benefit from the positive impact of this investment.
And this is a case that's been made, Chuck, by the governor and the assembly speaker and others, that this isn't just Foxconn jobs. This is something that's going to transform southeastern Wisconsin and beyond. Is that something you heard from others at this meeting?
That's right. And once the testimony got underway, and it's still continuing, folks like the chancellor of the UW-Milwaukee and the head of the Wisconsin Independent Colleges group are saying that this is a good thing. This is good for education as well as jobs in the area, that education will benefit and that money will go towards schools to help train these workers that are going to be needed.
Yeah, set the scene for us. Where was this event and how does it connect to the proposed Foxconn plant?
Sure. Well, this is at a building that Gateway Technical College operates. It's in Sturtevant, but it's not far from one of the two presumed sites for the Foxconn manufacturing plant, which is supposedly one of the sites is Mount Pleasant. Just we're talking about the west side of Racine, west of the city of Racine, out near the I-94 freeway. So that was why they were here. Gateway would like to be a part of this, a partner to the education here, and offered a building. It's very close to Sturtevant and very close to Mount Pleasant, I should say, and it's also very close, pretty close, I should say, to another possible site in Kenosha County in the town of Paris.
Talking to WPR's Chuck Kornbach about a legislative hearing today in Sturtevant about the proposed Foxconn plant and a state aid to help make that a reality. This was a public hearing, Chuck. Was there a lot of public there?
Well, there are quite a few people there. As I say, they had to wait a good amount of time because the quizzing went on of the state agency leaders. Once the public started to comment, as I say, there were some local officials, sort of Sean referred to in his piece about local concerns. By and large, Racine and Kenosha leaders sound in favor of Foxconn, but they do have some concerns, want some additional amendments to make sure the local communities are protected financially, and we'll have more reporting on that. So there was that testimony, and there was some environmentalists raised concerns, including about the lack of a state of an environmental impact statement by the state on this. Under the legislation, there would be, of course, permit reviews of various air and water and wetlands issues, at least the air and water issues. The federal government might have more to say about wetlands, but there wouldn't be an environmental impact statement, which is a much longer comprehensive study of all the issues. Environmentalists are asking for the EIS to stay in, to be put back in the legislation and give people a broader look at the comprehensive impact on the environment.
Democrats have raised issues and tried to make amendments in the assembly to the incentive package related to how many jobs would actually be created and whether those jobs go to people from Wisconsin or from south of the border, Illinois workers. Did those issues come up today?
Well, certainly there was a lot of that as well, in terms of a lot of skepticism from Democrats about, are we really going to have 13,000 jobs? Are we going to have a few thousand jobs? Are we going to have any jobs if Foxconn decides not to build? The state agency leaders and Republicans on the panel repeatedly expressed confidence that there would be a lot of jobs. But folks like a Democrat, Katrina Shanklin, a representative from the Stevens Point area, quizzed the head of WEDIC, Mark Hogan, about just, well, when would we get some of these guarantees? There's been a memorandum of understanding signed between the Walker administration and Foxconn, but there are still now negotiations on a specific contract. Shanklin, in her remarks, wondered about, well, we have to vote on something before there's a contract?
Is there anything in this bill that would, I mean, I heard you say multiple times that you're negotiating for clawbacks, but I mean, the language is permissive. It doesn't require the clawbacks to happen, correct?
That's correct. That's the statute as it's written today, aside from this legislation.
In this joint finance hearing, Chuck, was there a lot of talk about actually possibly changing this legislation before it's passed and sent to the governor, including issues like those clawbacks we just heard about?
Right, and I, of course, we should mention the clawbacks are, well, what if Foxconn doesn't live up to its promises? Would the state tax credits that they're mainly talking about be paid, or would you try to get money, claw money back from the manufacturer? And the state officials promised there would be a rigorous effort at that. There were joint finance, some joint finance members are talking about potential changes. Most of those are Democrats, however, and of course, Republicans control not only joint finance, but the state Senate, and as they have already controlled it, but they got their way in to this assembly version of the legislation that passed. So there's talk about changes, and if the local officials want changes on the like tax incremental financing, they might get some additional ones. Whether they'll be a big overhaul of this bill seems unlikely given the political clout of Republicans.
And Chuck, the Assembly, as we've talked about, passed their version of this bill. Now here's joint finance with a public hearing. What are the next steps in passing this incentive package for Foxconn development?
Well, we asked State Senator Alberta Darling, the co-chair, and Representative John Nygren, the other co-chair of joint finance, just before the hearing, they met with reporters. And this, of course, fits, a lot of this has to fit into the state budget talks. We're hearing some movement about the state budget today, but nothing concrete. So it's going to be, it sounded the way Senator Darling put it, that there's going to be a few weeks yet before a Senate and joint finance vote on things. So there'll be more debate, more newspaper stories looking at deals that have not materialized and haven't gone all that well for this, for various states. And so probably in September, they hope to have the contract ready for everybody to see in September, whether that'll be before the legislators vote on the legislation or after, I'm not quite clear.
We'll leave it there for now. Chuck, thanks for bringing us up to date.
Yep.
That's Chuck Krumbach, WPR news reporter based in Milwaukee. He joined us to share his reporting first on Speaker Paul Ryan's town hall in Racine last night, and then his coverage of today's hearing on the Foxconn incentive package.
Coming up after the news, a political observer says that to regain its stature, the left needs to move away from so-called identity politics. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.